In your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking there in just a moment. Appreciate Ben leading that song just before the lesson. We've been talking about the home for the past several weeks. And indeed, where love is in the home, there's all of these things, bliss, peace, happiness. And it's just a matter of applying that to our lives. And we'll be talking about that again this morning. But first, I want to join Jerry in welcoming everyone. We have visitors with us. We want you to know that we're glad that you've come to be with us this morning. And also, I want to thank those who came out yesterday to pass out the flyers for our meeting, which begins next Sunday. I want to continue to be praying about that and praying and inviting our friends and neighbors. I want to encourage everyone to make plans to be here in every service. This is an effort not only for our own edification, to worship God, but also to lead lost souls. And we're inviting our friends and neighbors to come, and it'd be good to have as many here as possible. And if you're able to be here, then we would expect you to be here. The Lord wants you to be here in this series of meetings, which begins next Sunday. Last week, we talked about the responsibilities of parents toward their children. We talked about how that these are things that every child has a right to expect of his parents. And that is for his parents to love them, to teach them the Word of God, to discipline them. And I mentioned last week that I had a second lesson on this subject of discipline. But as I thought about it, I thought, well, I think I said that all that was necessary about the training of children, the discipline of children. There's more that we could talk about. And so I thought I would continue on with the next lesson in this series rather than continue a second lesson on discipline. And so what I want to talk about this morning is the responsibilities of children in the home. Children have responsibilities, God-given responsibilities in the home. We might say that what we're going to be talking about this morning are what every parent has the right to expect of his children or their children. And so I'm talking to children. You're living in the home. I want you to listen to the things that we have to say. We'll be looking at what God says that He wants you to do, what His will is for you within the home. And in order for there to be that bliss, that happiness, that peace that the Lord promises within the home, then the children bear responsibility. They have some things that they need to do. We're going to be talking about that this morning. First of all, we find in Scripture that children must obey and honor their parents. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Notice the Lord says, obey. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. And so, children are to obey. Notice He says here, obey your parents in the Lord. I believe that phrase, in the Lord, qualifies the command to obey. It doesn't qualify the parents. He's not saying obey your parents who are in the Lord or Christians. But He's saying obey your parents in the Lord. Obey in the Lord. And so their obedience is to be in connection with their submission to the Lord, in connection with the Lord and His will. And so we might would say then the children should never obey their parents in disobedience to the Lord. If the parents would ever command the child to do something that would be in violation to God's law, then he would not be qualified or required to obey that. But it is right to obey your parents in the Lord and that submission to the Lord. Because he says, for this is right, the obligation of obeying parents rests on the principle that it is right. And therefore, this command does not change with the spirit of the age. Just because our culture may give a different idea about the rights of children in the home, this doesn't change because what is right is for the children to obey their parents. The reason that parents have a right to expect children to obey them is because it is right. And also notice in Colossians 3 and verse 20, because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, any child that's interested in doing God's will, doing the Lord's will, is one who's going to listen to this and say, this is something I need to be doing. When my parents command me to do something, then I need to do that because it is right. It is that which is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It is that which the Lord commands me. But notice he says, honor your father and your mother. Now the word honor in this passage means a valuing. To honor someone is to place value upon that one. And so really, children are to place value upon your parents. They are of great value, and therefore you're to honor them, recognize them as being precious in your eyes. And as a result of that, when you honor your father and mother, you're going to speak and think well of your parents. You're going to then do those things that are in their best interest. And we're going to talk more about this next Lord's Day when we talk about the responsibility of children to our aged parents. That's all of us, well, that have living parents. And we're going to talk about that next week, and that's still part of what we're to do. We're to honor them, which means we're to provide for them. In Matthew chapter 15, you remember Jesus is talking about how that the Jews had broken God's commands by keeping their tradition. And the example that he gives is this command to honor father and mother. And he says that their law, their tradition was, and it was called Corban, that if they took that money or those things that they needed to be giving to their mother and father to honor them, if they then give it to God, let's say put it in the treasury of the temple, then they didn't have to honor their father and mother. They didn't have to give it to their mother and father. And Jesus said, you have made void the word of God by your tradition. It's as though God's law concerning honor father and mother means nothing. Well, one thing that tells us is that honoring father and mother means I will give them what they need. I will provide for them. And meaning those who are in the home, those children who are in the home, need to think well toward their parents and want what's best for their parents and are there to serve their parents. That's part of honoring father and mother. Children in the home who honor their parents will show respect to them and they will obey them. That's part of honoring them. How does God feel about one who does not honor father and mother, who does not obey father and mother? Let's go back to the Old Testament Scriptures. How did God view that of the children of Israel in the days of the law of Moses? Remember in Exodus 21, verse 17, it says, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Also in Leviticus 20 and verse 9, for everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Now, of course, the Lord hasn't commanded us today that if our children curse us, then we are to go and take them out and kill them. That was the law of Moses. That was a part of that national law, that law that God had given the children of Israel. But I know the Lord hadn't changed His attitude about this. The same God who gives us that same command to honor father and mother and to obey them, I know that His view toward that is the same then as it now as it was then. It is something that He hates. It is something that is deplorable in His eyes for a child to not show respect for his parents, a child who will not obey his parents and will then honor his mother and his father. And so every child who's concerned about obeying God, who wants to be right with their Maker, is one who will look at these passages and will say, that's something I need to be concerned about. And when my parents then command me to do something, they want me to do these things, I need to be ready to be obedient to them. Jesus acknowledged this law in Matthew 15 that we referred to earlier. The command of God, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. And they were making void that command of God by their law of Corban, their tradition of Corban that they had added to the law. Also, when we think about this, we think about Jesus, you know, Jesus is our example. And at age 12, and this is the only place in the Scriptures where it makes reference to Jesus when he was in his early years, except from infancy. This is when he was 12 years old. And it says here in verse 51 that he went down with them, with his parents, Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. He was subject to them. That means he was obedient to his parents. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, 12 years of age. And as he was growing up, he was subject to his parents. And that's what we need to be. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be like him. And therefore, we should obey our parents. It is a terrible thing to hear children talk back to their parents, refuse to be submissive to their parents. Their parents saying, come along, and the child says, no, I don't want to. That's a terrible thing. And what I want to impress upon your mind today is that that's the way God views it, and that's the way we need to view it. We should never act that way than toward our parents. But let's ask this question. What if a parent is evil and has even abused the child? The parent is a drug addict or a drunkard or a liar or a fornicator. What should I do then? Well, we can hate the deeds of someone but still love that person. You know, Jesus says, love your enemies. And I can still hate what a person has become by their actions, despise what they have become, but at the same time love them and care for them. I can honor them. I can still view them precious because they're my parents, because they're people made in the image of God, and they need some help. And I, as a child who wants to serve the Lord, who wants to do what's right, can still honor them. And I still have the responsibility to honor and to obey in those areas where they're not leading me away from God. I can still do that in relation to those parents who are not what they ought to be. But what about children who've left home? Do children continue to have the responsibility to obey their parents even after the children have left home? Well, when children marry, you know, they grow old enough, they get married, they enter into a new home, then the relationship with their parent does change. You remember in Genesis 2, verse 24, when the Lord's talking about marriage here, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Notice, they leave father and mother. And so, when they get married, they leave father and mother, and they're joined to their mate. They have established a new home. There's a change in the relationship with the parents. They're still to honor them, but they do not have the responsibility to obey them as they once before when they lived in the home. They have their own home. They have their responsibilities in the own home, the new home. While they will respect that parent and listen to the parents, listen to their advice and suggestions, their responsibility to obey while they were in the home has changed. And someone might say, well, what about that unmarried adult child? Well, if here is a child that leaves home, he goes to college. And in most cases, mother and father still may be footing part of the bill. They're still under the authority of their parents. Just because they're away from that home doesn't mean they still don't have responsibilities to obey their parents. But there does come a point of where that adult child that's not married establishes his own home. He's working and taking care of himself, and he has developed his own home. That the relationship with his parents has changed. He still honors his parents. He still is respectful to them. He still will listen to their advice and their suggestions. But he has to make his decisions on his own. And the parents understand that, and they recognize there's been a change in that relationship. What we're primarily talking about this morning is the responsibilities of children in the home. Next week, as I've stated, we'll talk about our responsibility to our parents, our aged parents, even those of us who have left home. But then also, when we talk about the responsibilities of children in the home, children must uphold the good name of the parents, the good name that the parents have left them. And this is something the Lord is concerned about. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." What does he mean by a good name? He's talking about a good reputation. A good name, a good reputation is something that each of us should value very highly. Here it says it's that which is to be chosen rather than great riches. This is something God values and that we need to value. This passage indicates that God places a great deal of value on a good name. Well, when our parents have left us a good name, we must value it and uphold it. You know, a good name is gained by living a life of integrity, goodness, kindness. And that's difficult to obtain. Parents who have obtained a good name, they've done it over a period of years by living a kind of life that's deserving of that good reputation. I'll tell you, a good name can be lost just like that. It's kind of like rolling up a stone up a mountain. It's difficult to roll the stone up that mountain. You do it a little at a time. Just one slip causes that stone to roll all the way down the mountain. And you have to start all over again. And that's the way it is with a good name. It's something we work hard for. But then just a little slip, we can lose it. And children need to realize our parents who have a good name within that community, within the church. That is something that is to be guarded. It's something that is of great value. It's great value to God. It's of great value to the parents. And something that you want to maintain. Children whose parents have a good name are fortunate indeed. You know, many children have suffered untold misery because their parents had a bad name, a bad reputation. There's a certain name within the community. When people think of that name, they think of what? Maybe cheating, thievery, murder even. And here you've got that name. And so when they look at you, they think of that name because that's the reputation. And there are many children have grown up, you know, with shame because of that. There was a friend of mine, a brother in the church in Alabama, that was telling me that one day he was with his friends and he saw this man, an older man who was drunk, and he's just staggering around in the street. And his friends were kind of laughing and making fun of him, and he said it wasn't funny to me because that was my granddad. You think about the shame that comes to children because of a bad reputation of parents. But I'll tell you, on the other hand, there are many children who grow up with parents who have had a good reputation. These parents may not leave their children or grandchildren much money, but they have left them something that is far more valuable than money, and that is a good name, reputation. Guard that. You know, when you think of Samuel in the Scriptures, what do you think of? Think of a good man, don't you? A great man. Matter of fact, you can turn to 1 Samuel 12 and read where Samuel, even when he's in his old age, presents to the children of Israel and says to them, "Bear witness of me. If I've taken any of your possessions, your donkeys or anything, or taken a bribe, I'll pay this back." And they bore witness and they said, "You have not taken anything of us. You have not perverted justice. You've done what's right." I'll tell you, that's wonderful to be able to say to people as you've lived your life and say, "Bear witness of me if I've done you wrong." And they say, "No, you haven't." But I want to tell you something. You can't think of Samuel, those of us who are Bible students, you can't think of Samuel without thinking of his son. His sons did take bribes. His sons did pervert justice. And that was a reflection on Samuel, or at least it was that which would detract from his good name. Good men suffer hurt because they are primarily known as so-and-so's father. My children are not what they ought to be, and they brought my name down. That which will honor your father and mother, that which shows love for your father and mother, is to uphold the good name that your father and mother, your grandparents, have provided for you. But then thirdly, children must pull their share of the load in the home. Now, Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is telling a parable here. I want to go ahead and look at the parable. He says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" I want to ask you, is that an unreasonable request of a father to his son? "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Jesus is telling it as though this is normal. This is what happens. This is what does. Now, this is how some respond. He answered and said, "I will not," but afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise," and he answered and said, "I go, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? But my point here, of course, Jesus' point is about those who do the will of the Father. The point here is that this is a reasonable request of fathers toward their children. You remember in Genesis chapter 24 when Abraham sent his servant back to Mesopotamia to get a wife for his son Isaac, and he saw the daughters who came to draw water. The daughters of men, why did they come? Well, they were doing the work of their father, no doubt. And in Genesis 29, verses 6 and 9, concerning Rachel, it indicates that she kept her father's sheep. And also, David was one who kept his father's sheep. What were they doing? They were working in the home, doing the things that their fathers had imposed upon them and placed upon them. You know, many here today, in your 80s, maybe 90s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, you can remember back 60, 70, 80 years ago when it was not out of line when parents expected their children to split the wood for the stove, to milk the cows, to pick the cotton, slop the hogs, to plow the fields. You did that. And that was the right thing to do because that was the chores that has been placed upon you. And I'll tell you, we today live it pretty easy in comparison to that. What I'm saying is when your parents ask you to clean up your room, to wash the dishes, to rake the leaves, to mow the yard, to vacuum the floor, dust the furniture, don't balk. Don't complain. Do it cheerfully. It's the right thing to do. Matter of fact, they're teaching you responsibility. Because you're going to have responsibilities throughout your life. If you're going to gain things, you're going to have to do certain things. And they're trying to teach you responsibility in the home as you're growing up so that you'll learn to be that as you grow older. I tell you what has happened in our society today is many children have grown up thinking they're entitled to be given certain things. Because that's what parents do. They just give them everything without work, without meeting any responsibilities. And then as they leave the home, they believe that the government is then to give them whatever they want. They have this entitlement syndrome. And you don't want to grow up with that. And your parents are trying to teach you responsibility. So be willing to share the burden of the load. You know, you live in that house. You enjoy the comforts of that home. You need to pull your share of the load in that home. You've enjoyed blessings that God has provided for you within that home. Good parents. And they're wanting to teach you responsibility. So take on that responsibility. Learn from that and share the load within the home. But then also, children must be trustworthy. You know, the Bible teaches that lying is wrong, that we're always to tell the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." You remember in Revelation 21 and verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, always tell the truth. Be honest. Be honest with your parents. When young people say, I'm going to go to such and such a place and I'll be back at 10 o'clock, parents should be able to trust you when you say that. Or when the young person is explaining some incident in which he is involved, parents have the right to expect truthfulness in what you're saying. Always tell the truth. And in that, what you're doing is you're building trust. You know, children sometimes become angry because their parents lie to them. Their parents weren't truthful to them. Don't you get angry if your parents lied to you about it? Wouldn't you be angry? Well, if you expect that of your parents to be truthful to you, then they should have the right to expect you to be truthful to them. And if you have not been trustworthy, if you have known to be lying, you need to understand that only absolute truth and time can restore that lost confidence. If you have proven yourself to be one who cannot be trusted by your lying, don't think that now you say, okay, I'm sorry, and then they're going to automatically trust you. No, trustworthiness is something that is earned. It's not something that's given to you. And therefore, over a period of time, as you are being absolutely truthful in everything, then they can learn, yes, this one now can be trusted. And so in order to have that reputation or that trustworthiness, you need to be one who is truthful in all things. And the Lord wants us to always tell the truth. And then also, children must help maintain a peaceful atmosphere in the home. Proverbs 15, verse 17 says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Where love is in the home, there's happiness. There's peace. And that's really what this is saying. You may live in a home where you have everything you want, just scrumptious food every day, fatted calf. But if there's hatred there, there's misery, isn't it? It'd be better to be in a home where you don't have those niceties and where there's love. Because where there's love, then there is peace. There's harmony within that home. You know, our Lord is not pleased when our homes are centers of turmoil, fussing, and hatred rather than centers of peace, tranquility, and love. And so each within the home needs to ask himself, am I a part of the problem or the solution to the problem? Am I contributing to the turmoil or am I one who's pursuing the peace? And so children within the home need to decide, I'm going to love. You know, these are passages here, Philippians and Ephesians, where it talks about our relationship with one another in the church. But it applies to any relationship, even within the home. And of course, where there are in the home, you have children and parents who are Christians. These passages apply to that relationship that we have in the home. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And that's what love does. It is looking out for what is in the best interest of another person, of your parents. And children need to think in terms of, I have a responsibility to love. I have these responsibilities that the Lord is imposing upon us. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Look at verses 31 and 32 of this same chapter. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. You know, a lot of times we are more concerned about our relationship with maybe those within the church, or more concerned about our relationship with our friends, or maybe more concerned about our relationship with our teacher than we are with our siblings or with our parents. But if I can show kindness and be careful with my words outside the home, let's say with my teacher, wanting to have a good relationship with my teacher, I can do that with my parents. If I can do that with my friends and I want to have a good relationship with them, and so I act in ways that is loving and kind, I can do that with my parents. I can do that with my siblings as well. It's just a matter of the choice that I make. And so children have a responsibility to help maintain a peaceful atmosphere in the home. And then also, children must apologize and seek forgiveness when they have wronged their parents. Now, I suppose no child grows up without doing some things that he regrets, things that hurt his parents. We all have done that. But there are those who will, when they make those mistakes, will apologize and ask for forgiveness. And that's what we need to do when we make mistakes. Parents need to do that. We talked about that, I believe, last week. Parents need to admit when they have done wrong. And that's also true of children, must admit when they have done wrong. You remember in the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, of one son that became rebellious. He wanted the inheritance that fell to him. And his father gave him the inheritance. He went away and he wasted his substance in prodigal living. And after he had spent all, he was in need. You remember, he became in dire circumstances. No one would give unto him. And it says he came to himself and he realized the dire condition that he was in. And here's what he did. Verse 18, he said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." Now this is penitence, and this is seeking forgiveness. And how did his father receive him? Verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they begin to be merry. Now that's what's to happen. When we make mistakes, we commit sin, we do what's wrong, then we need to repent, come to ourselves and realize what I've done. And with that humble heart, come back and say, "I am so sorry for what I have done. Will you please forgive me?" And then you have parents or you have siblings who will do what this father did. That is, say, it's time to rejoice. Yes, there's forgiveness. He who was lost is now found. And that's the kind of atmosphere we need to have within the home. We're not all perfect, are we? Well, none of us are perfect. Only Jesus is. None of us are perfect. Therefore, we all make mistakes. There comes a time that each of us has to humble ourselves, to admit our wrongs, and to repent of them with a contrite heart. And forgiveness to be given. Well, these are things that children have a responsibility to do in the home. Every parent has the right to expect this of every child. Obey and honor their parents. Uphold the good name the parents have left them. Pull their share of the load in the home. Be trustworthy. Help maintain a peaceful atmosphere in the home. Apologize and seek forgiveness when they have wronged their parents. Determined to put these God-given responsibilities into practice. You remember what is stated in Proverbs 10 verse 1, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." The question is, which would you rather be? One who makes his father glad and mother, or brings grief to his mother? It's all my choice. It's your choice. As you choose to act, as you choose to speak, the decisions that you make all will determine what are the consequences. And we all have the ability to choose to do the right thing, to do what's right. And that's our encouragement in these lessons, and our encouragement to you who are children in the home, is to choose to do what's right. You'll be glad that you did. Don't allow your feelings, your emotions to control you. Allow the Lord to control you. And the Lord's instructions to us are for our good. It may be hard at the moment to do it, but in the end, it's for our good. And so let's determine to put these things into practice. There may be some here this morning who are not in right relationship with God. Maybe you're not a Christian. You've never given your life to Christ. You're still in your sins. Well, the Lord is inviting you to come to Him that you might find rest in your souls, that you might find forgiveness of your sins. Don't leave here still being in your sin. There should not be anyone here that should leave, that would leave still in sin. Because the Lord has provided a way of forgiveness. He's already died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He is now in heaven. All things are ready. All you need to do is come and render obedience. The decision is ours. And if I leave here being in sin, it is because of the choice that I have made to reject the invitation of our Lord for salvation. And so we encourage you to come to Jesus this morning that you might be forgiven. If you're not a Christian, come to Jesus in faith, believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all your sins, confess your faith in Him, and then be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, the Lord calls upon you to repent of your sins, confess your sins, and pray God for forgiveness. And if you want the prayers of the brethren, we encourage you to come forward. That you, in order for us to pray for you, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we'll go to God in prayer on your behalf, that God will forgive you, that God will be with you and help you as you strive to serve Him. If you need to do that, please come as we stand and sing.